Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Go! It is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast, Jack.
Hi.
The hopes are high, buddy. We're back.
That was
We're
like,
back, buddy.
That was. Listen, I'm excited about Samfold. That might have been a too much for Samfold, yo.
Jack, we got a Jew running the team now. Are you kidding me? This is such a beautiful thing. Like, Samfold, like, this could be me, Jack. This could be me running the team. Did you know that Samfold is 2 months younger than me, Jack? Did you know that?
Wow. So both of you guys are old. But actually, here's the difference.
For him, he's young.
Yeah,
I'm old.
Exactly.
And I'm 2 months older. That's
yes.
How that works.
Yes. The main difference here, James, is that you're old. He's young. Yeah, that's the main difference. So, and also Sam Fold, the owner of one of the best catches I've ever seen in my life, in right field for the Tampa Bay Rays back in the day. Does he count as a Rays guy?
Oh, he's definitely a Rays guy.
We're counting it. We're saying we're counting it. He's a Rays guy. It's kind of Vrabel is part of the Bill Belichick coaching tree, even though he never coached for Bill Belichick.
That's exactly right.
Samfold is a Rays guy.
He's better. So he's even better because he was just there and was so great that he absorbed so much as a player there. Like, he didn't even need to be in the front office there. He just was able to take it all in as a player. Jack, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Did you own Samfold in fantasy for that amazing month he had with the Rays? Because I did. I rode that month. Love you, Sam.
Now, when you were playing fantasy baseball then, were you writing down his stats off the newspaper and submitting them somewhere? Is that the time you were playing fantasy baseball?
Sammy! Sammy gets it.
Dude, he was playing.
Same age. We're like basically brothers, Jack.
Yeah. I mean, I think you guys would be best friends. I mean,
We already are. He just doesn't know
right,
it yet.
Right. Okay. I can't believe he was playing up until 2016. Like, Samfold, for not being that good, played for a long time.
He lasted like 9 years in the league, and he was like a 25th guy on a team.
So not only did he, you know, was he groomed by the Rays front office, he wasn't in their little analytics, you know, the little nerd closet. He lived it. Like, he lived being a Rays player. So, I mean, it's just, what a glorious day. The Phillies doing smart things.
Yeah, well, and also a smart guy. I'm just excited. Samfold is a smart dude. Like, went to Stanford. His parents are professors. Like, he's just a bright guy. And like you said, and we'll get into the press conference and all that, and I know you tweeted this, and I know I said it on the last pod, but I don't know how long it'll be. Maybe it'll take a year or whatever, but I am still not over how enjoyable it is to just have a normal press conference where people say smart things. Like, I feel like that alone is like buoying my spirit. But I think what Dombrowski said in the press conference was my very first thought when it happened. Like, the very first thing when I see that Samfold, I'm like, oh, that's a perfect compliment. for Dombrowski. Like, that's the perfect type of guy to come in to learn under Dombrowski, but also someone who's going to bring the things that Dombrowski is not great at. And for Dombrowski to acknowledge that and realize that and have the balls to bring in someone who's going to challenge him with other ideas and other ways of thinking that are desperately needed. Again, let's remember who just played in the World Series. Absolutely love this hire, Jack. This is honestly my favorite thing that's happened this offseason, is Sam Poldar.
Yeah, you could argue it's the most important thing that's happened this offseason because, I was worried they were going to, it was going to be one of, Dombrowski's guys, you know, from the Tigers or whatnot, that kind of oversaw that team as they were falling apart. And, you know, because, a couple of Dombrowski guys were part of the Tigers, scouting department or whatever. And, their scouting's been horrible. The last couple of years have been fine. They got Riley Green, Casey Mize.
Matt Manning. And
right. They've got those. But I'm talking about from the end of the Dombrowski era till, the Riley Green pick. It's been horrible, and it's been mostly Dombrowski's guys still there. I was afraid he was going to take one of those guys and bring him here. Also, with the Red Sox, I was also worried that he was not going to have a GM. He didn't have a GM for his 3 years with the Red Sox. It was Dombrowski running everything. And I don't want to get, I don't want to give people the impression that, Sam Fuld's going to be, doing the day. He's making decisions or making moves.
It's Dombrowski's show.
Yeah,
we're not trying to imply anything else.
Right.
It is Dave Dombrowski's show.
It's still Dave Dombrowski's show, but when he talked in his opening press conference, we both came away feeling that he wanted to groom the next guy, and we both thought it was important that he wanted to groom the next guy because ultimately Dombrowski's probably only going to be here for 4 years. I mean, he'll be 68 by the time he's done, and 4 years from now, you know, hopefully this pandemic's over. It's trending in that direction, but I hope it's over. And you would think that by then Nashville would be getting closer to getting a baseball team. And Dombrowski already made a pretty strong commitment to those guys that he would come back and he'd help lead the effort to bring a baseball team to Nashville, a Major League Baseball team to Nashville. So, there needs to be the next guy. There needs to be a guy that can take the Phillies into the future. And I'm glad they chose a guy like Sam Fuld to do that because this is where the game is trending towards. It's trending towards data-driven analytics. And Sam Fuld is a guy who not only played the game, but in his years leaving playing, he has he's been with the Phillies as every team, the smart teams, the Phillies, tried to be a smart team and it backfired because they had no idea what they were doing. But they've all been looking for a guy that can basically explain the analytics to the players, right? So to make it feel more human and where it's not just, hit the ball, launch angle and all that stuff, whatever. It was a way to explain the numbers to the players. And that's basically what Sam Fuld's done here. So he's lived both sides. And, at 39, he gets to learn from a future Hall of Famer kind of how the day-to-day can be run. To me, it just feels like there's a plan now. It feels like there's a plan in place, a top-down approach. They have a well-functioning front office that everyone knows their role in their front office. Even Jorge Valencia is a really interesting hire. Seems like a smart guy. Everyone I've talked about him rave about how great of a person he is. So I'm excited for that. But it seems like now there's a real clear vision in there. And it's just so refreshing, and I'm so glad they didn't go after one of the older guys. I'm glad that they see where the sport is trending, and it gives me hope that John Middleton is still believing in what the driveline guys are doing and the data stuff and player development through data and all of that stuff. It gives me hope with that. It's good to see because that's ultimately where the sport's going, and it's not slowing down anytime soon.
Yeah, I think you hit on a lot of important stuff in there. First and foremost, for our guys, for who we care about, and in the tumult of the organization this offseason, we're like, don't mess with Ochart, don't mess with our people, don't mess with our guys.
Yeah.
This hire is great for them. This is, to your point, I think this symbolizes that Dombrowski's not coming in and messing with everything that's working.
What we're going to do? We're going to use our eyes. That's the only thing that matters is using our eyes.
Right, and we were worried about Dombrowski.
Hey,
it was fair to worry about that.
Not just eyes, James. gut as well, using your gut.
It's key. I mean, you can't make a decision without it. I think this putting Fold in this role shows that Dombrowski understands what he doesn't know and the importance of what he doesn't know, and that he's willing to believe in the things that are working here. And that alone is just, I mean, the hire is worth it alone, because I mean, that was one of our biggest fears. But I do think you made some really great points in there about the idea of infrastructure and the idea of, look, bringing Dave Dombrowski in, and obviously we've kind of very clearly turned as the hire was made, as he talked, as we kind of look more into him and all that stuff, where we've obviously gotten more optimistic.
Listen, hey, we're Dombrowski guys.
We're a Dave Dombrowski podcast.
Yep, always were. But, never said one bad thing about Dave Dombrowski.
I mean, go back and check our titles of our podcast. It says it in a title. That means it's fact. Yeah. We're a Dave Dombrowski podcast.
Very consistent. But, no one's more consistent than this podcast.
No, we never flip. We're very online, and we stick to what we think. But, I think one of the worries, like we said with Dombrowski, was coming in and changing things around. But one of the strengths of Dombrowski, maybe the biggest strength, is of literally everyone on the market, like, there probably is no one who knows how a baseball organization should run and function better than this guy. I mean, just think about where this guy has been, what he's done, and who he's been around in his career. I mean, this guy, it's not like Andy McPhail, who was a dinosaur. Matt Klentak, who just had no idea what he was doing. I mean, Dave Dombrowski can come in and know how to run a baseball organization. Like, know what needs to happen for the trains to run on time, so to speak, to use an analogy. So I think when you get that infrastructure, that organization building, all that type of stuff, but also can still keep the analytics, the data-driven stuff, the driveline guys, Brian Barber, all that stuff, and still focus on that and make that stuff important too. I think, to your point, Jack, that's what a plan feels like. You know, that's what it feels like. All right, we're building a front office here. You know, we always joke about like the Indians and like the front offices of the 90s and like the 10,000 general managers that came out of it, you know, guys who aren't even like, you know, the Dan O'Dowds and this and that and Shapiro and Antonetti and like all these, so many guys came out of those, John Hart and like all those years. But like, that's because they built a front office and an infrastructure and a system that works and then brought smart people in, and these smart people learn the way these things work, build up, and then go run their other franchises. Like, I'm not saying the Phillies are about to become a powerhouse front office for the next 50 years, but like, this is what it looks like when you start something like that. You know what I mean? This is at least a plan, an infrastructure, something where you could see, all right, Dombrowski's in charge. He's going to set up the infrastructure. He's going to walk away. Fold's going to learn from him. Fold's going to set up the, and like, there, it feels like, and you have smart guys in Valencia, first Venezuelan assistant general manager in baseball history. Like, that's neat. But like, there's infrastructure, and then you can build something. And the key is obviously bringing in smart people and continuing to, you know, build this stronger and stronger, where you can become something like an Indians front office down the road. But at least right now, it feels like for the first time in forever, Jack, it feels like there is a future for the Philadelphia Phillies front office that doesn't seem like a mess, like a wayward disaster.
It's a Festivus miracle, James. Happy Festivus.
It truly is. I got nothing to grieve about, man.
It's a Festivus miracle. And honestly, hopefully it doesn't turn out the same way, but in our terms, it reminds me a lot of Gillick and Amaro. I mean, Gillick was brought in as a guy who, this was his last stop on a storied baseball career, and he's going to groom Ruben Amaro Jr. to take over for him, and wasn't great, but you know, that's the same kind of idea here. At least Sam Fold is the right kind of hire. And again, like we just talked about it, but just the sport is not getting away from data driven stuff to get the most out of their players. It's just not. And to try to avoid that and try to rely on old school tactics, while I think still important, It's just not the way the sport is going. And Fold's been a part of player development. This may be the most important part. And I know it took me 13 minutes to get here, but here we are. Chaim wanted this guy to be his manager. And if Chaim wants him, then guess who wants him? this podcast wants him. So he is.
Yeah, well said.
He is all well good. Said. Like, honestly.
Oh, so, which also, by the way, this reinvigorates my potential for my dreidel spin rate shirt to be a thing in Philly now, too, because Sam Fuld definitely is a dreidel spin rate shirt guy.
Yes, 100%. I might have to get that shirt myself, James. If you could pick up pick up an XL for me when you go down to the store, that would be great because I'm all in. But yeah, but seriously, like, this guy is coveted around baseball. I mean, like, he was the fact that he's a finalist for a manager's job, but also in player development and in analytics and all that stuff, and now is a general manager of a team, like, that's some serious versatility to where that teams must have bought into his ability to communicate effectively with players. I felt like Gabe Kapler. Did that sound like Gabe Kapler?
No, a little bit, but it's such an important point. Like, you're dead on. I think it dovetails with what you were saying before. Like,
communicate the idea that this,
this guy is he is going to be an elite general manager.
Yep.
I think the ability to communicate the the data type stuff, the analytical type stuff, to players in a digestible way where they can understand it and then implement it. I mean, that's what we always said about Klentak, right? Like, that was our biggest issue with Klentak, was like, yeah, he's got all these numbers he's using and all these analytics. He just doesn't know how to apply them. He doesn't know how to explain them. He doesn't know how to execute them. Like, the idea with Fuld being a player and actually using these analytics and using these types of things in Tampa Bay, and then understanding how to take them and incorporate them into play, and then thus explain that to other people. And again, a smart guy who is good at these things. It's massive. Yeah. Jag, it's massive.
Yeah.
And
now,
perfect under Dombrowski, like, now, that type of guy under Dombrowski.
I agree. Now, I do hope that, you know, it wasn't a Sam Fuld problem. It was the guys giving Sam Fuld the numbers problem. You know, I mean, because it's pretty unbelievable how bad they've been at, like, using the numbers and using the data. I mean, we remember the beginning of, was it 18 when they were shifting all over the place? And they were
18.
Yeah, and it came out halfway through the year that they were using, they're like, they had the numbers backwards, I want to say. Like, they were just, like, they were basing their shifts off of the hitter and not the pitcher or something like that. Like, basically, everything they were telling the defense to do was the exact opposite of what they were supposed to do, and they didn't realize it until halfway through the year.
It's unbelievable. But again, I'm not going to blame Sam Fuld for that.
I am just
that Klentak problem.
Yes, I'm just hoping that, you know, there's not a problem with him communicating to the players the numbers and all that fun stuff. It's real quick sidebar. Unbelievable that 2018 team was in first place until
August 1st.
Yeah,
August 1st.
I mean, just,
that team was horrible.
That team was like, terrible.
That team should have. I know they finished what 80-82. That was like a 75 win baseball team.
Oh, they're terrible.
It's an 80 win baseball team.
Yeah, they were so bad, and like no one could get behind them because everyone just knew that they were going to absolutely collapse at any moment. And then September happened, and it was like I'll never get over the Rockies series in 2018 with Vince Velasquez, went like an inning and a third, and it was like eight runs.
They were down like 14-0 in like the second inning of one of those games. I was like, okay, this is cool.
They got destroyed, absolutely destroyed. But not Sam Fuld's fault. Officially, not Sam Fuld's fault. Also, first year in the job takes a while to grow. You know, he's a young guy. You're old. He's young.
Well, that is the thing. Yeah, exactly. He is young. He is young for this role. And also, look, we will certainly acknowledge he does not have as much experience as a lot of people who get hired in this role. But I think a big part of that is that he is being paired with someone as president
right.
of baseball ops.
I mean, what's he going to be?
Experience than everyone else. And also, again, to Jack's point before, like, Dombrowski is a hands-on guy. Like, just because Dombrowski is hiring Fuld doesn't mean that Dombrowski's still, like, for all intents and purposes, the general manager, too.
Yes.
But now Fuld gets a chance to work side-by-side with him and also, again, as we said, challenge him on certain things, show him the numbers, try and help inform some of his decisions and all that. So,
yeah,
I go back to the compliment thing. I think, like, looking at these two in tandem as a unit, Dombrowski and Fuld, gets me a lot more excited than either individual hire by itself.
Yeah, honestly, if Sam Fuld just brings Dave Dombrowski, if he just brings him guys with upside, that's all I really want him to do. You know, let Dombrowski kind of take care of the big moves, free agent signings, all that stuff. But if Sam Fold finds some undiscovered talent, that's all I want him to do, because that's really why he's here. In my mind, he's here to find the undervalued talent, like what the Rays do, what all the great teams do, is they find undervalued talent and get the most out of them. And that's what I think Sam Fold's going to do. Like, Dave Dombrowski's going to have the eye, going to have whatever to get players here. But I need Sam Fold to be the guy that is digging into, Savant Page and whatever. I mean, you know, Major League Baseball has,
Brooks Baseball.
Yeah, like, has their own resources, obviously.
Of course.
I need him diving into that stuff and just trying to find what can unlock the next potential of guys. That's what I need Sam Fold to do. Also, I think an important point is that, and you just brought up about how hands-on Dombrowski is, and that's great, because, like, basically what happened here in 2015 was the Phillies hired Andy MacPhail to be their freaking president. And then Andy MacPhail hired Matt Klentak and then left. Like, he was not around. He was not an active participant in the day-to-day operations. And ultimately, he let this thing get out of hand and didn't really have a clear path on getting it back on track, because he hadn't run a freaking baseball team since, like, 2011. Like, he hasn't run a baseball. He didn't run a baseball team in forever. And he didn't want to do
it. There's a major shift in baseball in that time from when he ran an organization to when he started again with the Phillies, where – like, baseball changed. It's what we always talk about, but it's just a fact. Like, analytics, data-driven, like, that all became the way of the world in baseball, and Andy MacPhail missed that transition.
Yeah, and but what with here, like, Dombrowski is literally going to be...
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Day-to-day, hands-on, and grooming Sam Fold from day one. And I just think that's a really key distinction. Like, if people are worried, oh, well, MacPhail was also an old guy that brought in a young GM and let him kind of run the ship. Like, that's not what's happening here. Dombrowski is here, too, because he actually, wants to win and is not going to...
And again, as much as, yes, we made some comments about Dave Dombrowski,
yeah.
I don't...
Well,
I don't know if
we?
It really happened.
Yeah,
people said we did. Regardless, he's light years better than MacPhail.
Yes.
Like, do not put him and Andy MacPhail in the same sentence.
Don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. Andy MacPhail
is times better than this guy. Like, MacPhail is a statue. He is useless. He is a waste of space. Like, this is, stop. No more comparisons. We will accept no Dombrowski MacPhail comparisons in any way. I don't even, not even age. Dombrowski's younger. Even if he's older, he's younger.
And he's taller. He's definitely taller.
All that stuff. I mean, come on.
All that matters is the height with Dombrowski. But yes.
Yeah, also, I don't know. Just not having a bowl cut is for me a big
well,
thing.
Much like Andy MacPhail, they're big in the 90s. So,
yes. Woo-hoo!
I'm
well
so
done,
glad.
Sir.
I'm so glad he's.
I lived
I'm
that. So I lived that, Jack. You were a child. I lived the bowl cuts in the 90s. Let me tell you, they were ridiculous.
Did you ever have? Did you ever have the highlights?
I never
in your hair?
Had a bowl cut. My mother would have died rather than give me a bowl cut. But I saw some bowl cuts. They were horrible.
What about the frosted tips? You ever have the frosted tips?
Oh no, I was never into that. I had buddies who were into the frosted tips. Not my thing.
That's a tough phase. The frosted tip phase.
It's a tough one. It's fun to look back on.
I
have a buddy who we still will bring up the frosted tips.
Yeah, the frosted tips weren't great. I don't think the kids these days know anything about the frosted tips. But the people that went through it, like us, it was a bad look. It was a tough scene.
It was horrible.
It was a tough scene.
It was a terrible, terrible look. I can't believe it was ever a thing.
Yeah, I don't know how they became a thing. I don't know why they became a thing, and I'm glad they're no longer a thing. I think
you nailed it.
I like today's style. I am a fan of today's style.
Sure. Less frosted tips. It works for me.
It's just no bowl cuts. It's just a normal looking style of today. I mean,
yeah,
honestly.
Just cut your hair normally. That's my general
Although,
philosophy.
Does Dave Dombrowski Does he still have a
flip? Oh, yeah, it's a little much.
Does he still have a flip phone, though? Like, every picture I see of Dombrowski, it's like he has that. Did you ever have the cell phone on the belt buckle thing? Had that? Every picture I see of Dombrowski, he has that.
Come on,
so
man.
I want to make
BlackBerry.
Yeah.
Buddy.
I just want to make sure he has an iPhone. It's really important to me that Dave Dombrowski has an iPhone.
That's a fair thing to care about.
Like, every picture I see of him, it's one, he's the tallest guy I've ever seen, and two is that he has the cell phone on the belt, and it looks like a flip phone, and he's going to take it out, and his shirt's always tucked in, which is such an old guy move. Like, I don't know who decided that shirts should be tucked in all the time, but Dave Dombrowski is a tucked-in shirt guy at all times, and then he also has the flip phone on the side thing, and I just, if someone could figure out if he has an iPhone or not, I would really appreciate it.
He is 68, Jack.
He's 64.
Or 64. Excuse me, not 68.
Yes.
He is 64.
He's 64. I don't. It's very important to me that my 2020 president of baseball operations has an iPhone.
I think that's a very fair thing to say.
Thank you.
Cosine.
Thank you.
Cosine. Was that the end of the point?
That was the end of my point. Yes. Yes.
I'm just excited. I'm excited about Fold. We got a Jew in the front office, Jack. This is a good thing.
Yes.
This is proven historically.
Was he on that famed Israel team from like the 20?
Oh yeah, I believe so. I feel like he was. I'm not 100% sure,
I think I've seen pictures of him. He's only 39. He could probably play in the next one.
I tell me about it. He's young like me, Jack.
Yes. Well, no, you're old. He's young.
He just turned 39. Less than a month ago. Jack.
He's a young 39. You're an old 39.
I think that. I don't know what else to say to that. I think it's fair.
Yes, that's right.
So what else we got? You got anything else?
I do. And these are
figured you did.
These are very me, and I'm sorry in advance, but I have to get them out because it's bothering.
So who are you targeting at 13? Is that where we're going now?
Yes, yeah, just start laying the groundwork for for whoever Dave is going after. So I know I just brought up the iPhone thing. I just need to make sure he has an iPhone because, you know, and the tucked in shirt thing bothers me because, like, I mean, come on. Like, no one tucks in their shirt anymore. It's 2020. The other thing that bothers me is that he doesn't turn off his notifications during press conferences. So, like, you're just listening, and all of a sudden, it'll just be a loud-ass notification.
Yeah, this is a fair take. Like, mute your phone.
Yeah, just turn it off.
Yeah, well, which leans towards the no iPhone. An iPhone's so easy. Yeah. Just flick that little button.
Yeah,
that's nervous.
I'm worried about Dombrowski's use of technology. You know, I'm worried about it. It's 2020. It's like, I just
got Sam, man. It's like me and Joe DeCamera. Like, you know, you just have Sam do all the electronic stuff he needs done.
Yes. But
Joe DeCamera's only 42. He just acts like he's 64.
Yeah, I think he likes that, though. It's like a point of pride for him.
Obviously.
But yeah, it's just, yeah, I don't like the notifications during that. And I'm worried about his use of technology. Another thing that, like, look, I'm glad Sam Fold's here. I think it was the right hire. I think it was smart, and I think it's the right kind of decision to make. It does kind of bother me that he didn't interview anyone else outside the organization. He only interviewed from within, and Sam Fold might end up being a great GM and whatnot. It just I would have liked to hear that he went outside the organization, he interviewed all around, and he decided that Sam Fold was, you know, the best guy for the job.
I agree with you on that. Like, why not? You know, what rush you in? Like, it makes the Fold hire seem stronger, obviously, because you talk to other people. But on top of that, like, I want you to, as much as I like Fold, like, I want you to talk to everybody. I want you to feel that this is the best possible compliment to you that you can find. So I agree with that.
No stone unturned is what I would like. But I guess, you know, during these times when, you know, there's a lot of talk
it's
about
been uproot, Jack. You got one guy to uproot. The odds that you could get two, I mean, come on.
Yeah, who could possibly do that? But I understand it's tough during Zoom and whatnot. But in the same fold, I've been here and people in the organization know him. I just would have liked to have heard that I, you know, scoured the earth trying to find the best GM candidate for the job, and Sam blew me away and all that stuff. And maybe he did. Maybe maybe he did blow him away in the press conference and was like, this is my guy, I'm good. So that's my hope, at least. Another thing, we brought up earlier, you know, Gillick and Ruben Amaro, but in a modern day situation, like Mike Hazen was with the Diamondbacks, or not with the Diamondbacks, with the Red Sox when Dombrowski took over, and it ended up being that Dombrowski's guy was Mike Hazen in the Red Sox organization, worked under him, groomed him, and Hazen now took the Diamondbacks job a couple years ago. One of the best GMs in the sport. I mean, he grew
very highly thought of.
Yes.
Very highly thought of.
Yes. So he took that job. He
We're hoping Sam Fold becomes Hazen, except here.
Yes.
Is the idea.
Right. Stays here, all that fun stuff. But that's what it reminds me a lot of. And it's a good, it makes me feel good. It makes me feel like Dombrowski knows how to scout front office candidates, right?
I mean, like, and again, I'm harping on it, but again, it also shows that Dombrowski is willing to admit what he's not great on and bring in someone who's going to help him with those things. Like, those are the best type of leaders. Like, are people who say, all right, this is my weak spot. I know who I am and what I'm good at and what I'm bad at. I'm not great at this thing. Let me bring someone in who's going to strengthen me in that thing. I mean, that's really good business.
Right. Right. So that made me excited. Just thinking about what Hazen's done, where he's gone, and Dombrowski realizing that, I thought was massive. So I thought it's a good comp to have. I thought it was weird that it took JT's agent 10 days to reach out and congratulate him on getting the job. You know, he's been on the job for 10 days. He's Dave Dombrowski. He obviously wants to have a conversation with you. And it does make me believe that I think that JT's agent thought he was going to the Mets. And the Mets are out now, and he's gonna come crying back, or coming back to the Phillies. And I feel good about their chances to re-sign JT. I mean, the fact that the agent called him, kind of just like, "Hey, congrats on the job" thing. I don't know. It felt weird that it took him 10 days to do it. And it seems like, you know, he thought he was gonna be a Met, and he would like to get the most money out of the Mets as possible and drive the leverage up. And I don't know. I have a good feeling, James.
I do too. And I didn't, as you know, obviously as recently as, you know, a few weeks ago. But I do too. The James McCann signing, obviously, with the Mets takes them off the board. And I agree with you. It feels like JT's agent was trying to leverage the Mets. He overplayed his hand. They said, all right, well, fine. We'll just sign James McCann. We like him anyway. And he found himself in a position without a lot of suitors. Without a lot of big suitors who could really kind of scare other teams. So I'm with you. You never know. It's still a potential. All it takes is one team to kind of come in over the top and say, oh, well, you know, he's going to cost less than we expected him to, or whatever. So the Phillies are still going to have to pay, obviously. But I am definitely far more optimistic than I was a few weeks ago. Like, a lot more optimistic.
Would you rather just JT or JBJ, Andrew Alton Simmons, and two bullpen pieces?
I mean, so if you're saying it's like JT and nobody else, like, I don't fill those positions.
Like, you fill them, but it's not with like a caliber player of JBJ or
with like league average guys.
Yeah,
is your point?
Right. Like, more Neftali Felices. It won't be that bad, but yeah, you know, you don't
it
like
won't
JT.
Be, that's why it's hard. It's JT, because it won't be that bad, and there'll be upside and stats on the way sometime next year, whatever, all that type of stuff. So you take JT and you move forward. But I do like the other side too. You know, I think there's upside there. I wish Didi were on. Like, it's so annoying that like it just is like, oh well, Didi's gone.
Yeah.
Like, why? But that guy was so fun. Like, he was so great as a Philly. Like, oh, but that's it. All right. Well, I guess we're just signing someone else. Like, I don't know. I'm not over Didi yet, but I am optimistic about JT, and I would take the JT side of that if I had to.
Yeah, because, like, my thought process is that, like, at least with JT, it's the core is still here, and then you can, like, even if they don't add this offseason, you would hope that next offseason they'll be like, all right, we have our core, now let's go fill in the other holes once there's fans in the stands, you know, once we're getting our revenue back because we lost $2 billion last year, apparently. So, yeah, like next year's team would probably be better if they, you know, got Simmons, JBJ, Sandy Leon, Brad Hand, you know, another bullpen guy. Like, yeah, next year's team would be better, probably. But you got to think of this thing as a window. And JT, Bryce, Bohm, Reese, Kingery, I guess.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
What if he turns into something? Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, I need it. I absolutely need it. So, yeah, it's just, yeah, that's the core is still there, even if, you know, the team isn't as good next year as it could be. Dave Dombrowski's answer about Matt Klemtak's role made me laugh out loud. It was like, I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said he won't be involved in the day-to-day operations. And I was just like, wow, awesome, cool, great, good to hear, Dave. He was like even Ned Rice has a bigger role with this organization than Matt Klemtak does.
Good. I mean, that's what should happen. Like, he was essentially fired, we thought. It is good. I'm very happy with that.
He won't be a part of day-to-day operations.
Yes, no. He's collecting a paycheck.
So happy. Just so happy.
Look, and if you're mad, I mean, there are worse things to do for a year than collect whatever it is, $3 million or whatever.
Yeah.
$3 million and just come in and mess around the computer all day and hang out and just read Twitter and whatever. Like, all right.
Turn on the lights.
I made $14,000 today. See you guys tomorrow. Yeah. You know,
go down to Bull's Barbecue, cook up some nice food.
Not gonna lie, I could live that life, Jack.
Honestly, I'll take it. I would switch jobs with Matt Klemtak for a year.
Right now. Yes, please, Matt. Let's do it. Oh, can you imagine? I wouldn't do, honestly, I just couldn't do that to the IOPS listeners, make them have to listen to Matt Klemtak all year. That's tough.
It would just be tough. I would figure out a way to get phone lines on the pod and just open them up.
Just let people call it and yell at it. I love it.
And my final little thing here is it bothers me that Dombrowski called Alec Bohm Alex Bohm.
Did he say that? I missed that.
We need to fix that. And it's honestly,
Dave, you're not a WIP caller.
Yes.
All right, pal.
It's not Alshon Jeffries. It's not Alex
Bohm.
Be
better, pal.
Yeah, you're from Chicago.
Daniels.
Yeah, yeah. You're from Chicago. Also, you know, little worry meter about the possible Alec Bohm trade. But I think that's
Moment Dombrowski signed, I came here. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
you can get a lot for Alec Bohm right now.
That's probably reading into it too much. Definitely reading into it too much. But if we could please remedy that and please call him by his name, Alec Bohm, that'd be great. I don't want him. I don't need him named Alex Bohm. It's Alec Bohm, and
Alec
is
better anyway. It's stronger. It's more powerful.
Listen, Alec Bohm was a quick compact swing. Alex Bohm's a long swing that doesn't have any loft.
Exactly. You nailed it.
Yes.
I mean, that's just facts.
Yes. So, Dave, it's Alec. He's your future star. He is our version of Freddie Freeman. You better respect that man and a better offensive player than Bryce Harper. So, on that note, I would just like to say, James, happy Festivus. Merry Christmas.
Hold on, though, because I feel good about the Merry Christmas. But last time we said Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. We'll talk to you guys in the New Year.
Yeah.
And we're here now. So here's my question.
Yes.
Will we be recording another podcast before the New Year, or will Dombrowski's first move not happen? That's my question, because, you know, we could say, you know, we'll talk to you guys in 2021 like we did last time, but it was a lie, Jack. So I'm wondering, what is your guess? Obviously, we can't control it. We'll be here if we're needed. If not, we'll talk to you guys next year. Prediction time. Will we be talking again this year on the Hops Podcast?
No, but.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I hope we do.
Me too.
I need a nice JBJ under the Christmas tree, you know?
Yeah. Like
a nice JBJ. I get a look at the defensive highlights, get excited about the defensive highlights, talk myself into his swing, starting to look at, if you squint, you see Christian Yelich. So I get to talk myself into that, the swing changes from last year.
You can see Christian Yelich.
Christian Yelich, bad season last
year. Who are you?
I don't know. It's a good question. Also, there is High Hops cans. which I need everyone to go get for the holidays. We are open.
They're so awesome.
Yeah.
They're so awesome.
Open today and tomorrow.
They came out like better than I could have ever dreamed they would come out.
Yes. Today and tomorrow from 4 to 7, closed on Christmas, and then open this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, normal hours at Four Fingers Brewing Company. Come get a High Hops can and just think about baseball season. Even though baseball season's under 100 days away, James. It's 99 days away.
Well, we think. We don't actually know.
Oh, that's true.
Exactly what I was saying.
Well, the owners care so much about the players that they want them to get vaccinated before that for player safety.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely what it... Good point,
yes,
Jack.
Yes, they care so much about the players.
No animosity between those two groups whatsoever.
Yeah, they definitely don't just want fans back in the stands so they can get money.
Yeah. Happy Hanukkah, Sam Folt.
Yes.
How about that? Even though Hanukkah's over, we love you, Sam. All right. Any final thoughts? Buy High Hops cans.
Buy High Hops cans and find me some undervalued talent that we can mold into a superstar here, Sam Folt. That is your New Year's resolution.
I mean, Sam could be a listener. That's possible, right?
I wouldn't put it past him.
Maybe. I mean,
else in the Phillies player development listens. Why not Sam Folt?
Sam, if you're listening, we love you, buddy.
And come on the pod.
Come on the pod.
Yes, of course. Come on the pod. Yeah.
I mean, come on. All right. Merry Christmas. Happy Festivus, first and foremost. The most important holiday happening right now.
Yes.
Merry Christmas. And probably Happy New Year. We'll see. We think maybe. Either way. We'll definitely be back soon. We'll talk to you guys later. He's Fritz himself. We'll see you.